From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns welcoming you to another week of broadcasting here on Let the Bible Speak. This week we come to an outstanding text in Colossians chapter 1 in our continuing series of messages on that chapter. Colossians 1 verse 14 speaks of Christ as God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Our subject this week, and indeed in the will of God next week, will be redemption through Christ's blood, or quite simply, wonderful redemption. It's a glorious theme. It lies at the very heart of the gospel, and I trust that God will bless it to your heart as together we spend time letting the Bible speak on this vital subject, so much at the very core of our salvation. Wonderful redemption. But before we turn to the message today, we start in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1, on the subject of flies and folly for our daily devotional for today. Ecclesiastes 10, 1, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honour. Good perfume is expensive, contains special ingredients, and it requires special preparation. Hopefully it spreads a pleasant fragrance. What requires such effort and expense to make can be easily spoiled and rendered useless. Whereas modern technology helps assure the purity of the concoction, ancient chemists had to be vigilant in efforts to prevent contamination. So sensitive was the ancient brew that stray flies falling into the vat would spoil the perfume. Ounce for ounce, the flies were nothing in the large vats, but their presence was strong enough to ruin the batch. The perfume would lose its fragrance, and thus its value. Solomon, the preacher, warns that our lives are like that vat of precious perfume. A good testimony has an aroma that flows from our lives just as sweet perfume. To have a good name, reputation, or testimony requires consistent effort and virtue. It takes a lifetime to make a good testimony. It takes only a careless moment to ruin it. Folly or sin in the life of a believer has the same stinking power as the fly in the ointment. A little can destroy a lot. As Christians, we're ambassadors of Christ. It's vitally important that we represent Him well. The adage that our lives are the only Bible some people read is sadly true. Yet it's a wonderful privilege for us to show the world the power of the gospel and the beauty of Christ. Let us seek to have a testimony that speaks truly of Christ and cherish it as precious. Let us be careful to walk worthy of what Christ has made us and prayerfully guard against the sins, even the so-called little sins, that nullify the value of our witness. Our thought for the day is from the Puritan Thomas Brooks. A Christian's life should be nothing but a visible representation of Christ. Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine, and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. The latest issue of the Let the Bible Speak quarterly deals with the subject of the cross of Christ, and that should make it an issue that is of interest to all of God's people. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get on our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine.
Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in His Word, He has shown us the way. Here in our midst, He's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with Thee in our eternal home.
So for the children, oh, hear His voice, let every heart lift forth and rejoice,
and let us freely choice. Do not delay, but come.
Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free.
And we shall gather, Savior, with Thee in our eternal.
It's time now to turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 for today's message. As I pointed out at the top of the broadcast, this is a great text and it has a great theme. Let me state the theme of all this week's study. God's people have redemption and remission of sins by the virtue of Christ's person and the merits of Christ's blood. That's the theme for study. Now let's turn to God's holy word.
Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read a brief portion. We're going to commence at verse 9 and read to the end of verse 14. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Our text is found in verse 14 of that chapter. You remember that I said last week that verses 13 and 14 stand very, very closely related, that they carry in them two ideas that really cannot be separated. One leads to the other, one expounds the other, and yet they are so vast that we have to treat them separately. Last week in verse 13, we looked at the idea of the Father delivering his people from the power of darkness and translating them into the kingdom of the Son of his love, to give the words their literal force. God delivering his people from the power of darkness and translating them or transferring them into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, with regard or reference to the Son of his love, he goes on in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In the Son of his love, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, the text today is so brief that if you have not already memorized it, you could do so in the next few seconds, even those of you who complain, like me, that your memory is failing. I have no doubt you could memorize this text in a matter of seconds. It's brief, but its message is far from small or insignificant. In fact, its message is one of the most immense in all the Bible. What Paul says here in this text goes to the very heart of all biblical revelation. Here he speaks of redemption. The theology of the Bible is fundamentally a theology of redemption. In fact, when I taught theology during my time here in the United States, I developed what I called the theology of redemption. Normally, that is what's called a course in historical theology. Mine was a course in systematic theology. And while there are people, theologians, who object to the method, I think they're wrong. I think that the greatest integrating theme of all theology is redemption. Scholars argue, is there a theme that ties the whole Bible together? Only an idiot or an unbeliever could read the Bible and then ask that question. And only an absolute fool, having asked the question, could, as many so-called scholars do, come to the conclusion there is no integrating theme. From Genesis to Revelation, the theme that ties all biblical revelation together, the heartbeat of all Bible doctrine, is the revelation of redemption. And that's something, therefore, that makes our text of surpassing importance. Now, I'm going to let you into a secret if you haven't already come to this conclusion. Shouldn't tell you because you'll judge me and you'll judge other preachers by it. But when people are learning to preach, I have to say, when I was learning to preach, I was never told this, and that explains the difficulties I had for so many years. But When people are learning to preach, there is one fundamental thing that they are taught. At least they should be taught. It's so simple that every student wants to overlook it. And that is, before you speak in a text, make sure you know what it's about. You see, we're all brilliant at talking about things we know nothing about. Once we have our minds made up, don't confuse me with facts. I have known preachers to come to texts, and they have found things there that were never intended to be there. I have heard people say, well, that's taken out of the Bible, you know. And it always reminds me of John Wiley. I've quoted him before. One of our ministers is now with the Lord. When people were talking to him about something they said was taken out of the Bible, he said, well, it must have been, for I have never found it in the Bible. And I think that's the way many people come to texts. When you come to a text, you've got to find out what it means. And I always like to tell the students to make sure that when they come to any verse, they can look at it, and whether it's a text of one verse, or a text of one chapter, or a text of one book, that they can reduce it to one single, usually simple sentence that says it all. And only when you can do that can you begin to say you've even got to the starting line in understanding that text. Now, I want you to look at this text. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And as you look at it, I think you'll find it teaches a wonderful truth. I simply titled the message today, Wonderful Redemption, because this is a wonderful truth. And it's this, that God's people have redemption and remission of sins by virtue of Christ's person and of the merits of his precious blood. We have redemption in Christ through his blood, even the remission of sins. Now, I've said the message is vast, and therefore I'm going to do something that I don't know when last I did this. I don't know if I've ever done it indeed. May have, but it doesn't come to mind. I am not going to preach the whole message this morning. That's nothing new. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back to the text, not next Sunday morning, but tonight. This is our text then, not for this morning, but for today. And I want us to think on this theme of wonderful redemption. Now again, we've got to start right at the very beginning. And we start at the beginning by thinking of the essence of redemption. It's always good to have a clear definition of our terms. This word redemption, while this is in Colossians and therefore it's written in Greek, and the Greek words are made up of various component parts, and the Greek words carry their own cargo or freight of meaning and all that, while that's true, yet the word redemption and the idea in the word comes to us from the Old Testament scriptures. When you read redemption in the New Testament, remember that while it's important to find out what do the Greek words mean and what does the English word mean, yet you've got to go way beyond that and find out what does the Old Testament say about this. Because this is a word that comes to us out of the Old Testament, and it's a word, therefore, that when the apostles used it, they were using it to convey what I've called a cargo of meaning that's clearly set before us in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, when you get to those scriptures, you'll find that redemption, and this is true not only in the Old Testament, obviously, it's true in the New Testament, it's true even in our more popular use of the word in modern English. The word redemption always means a recovery of some sort. A recovery. It always means a recovery that is obtained by the expenditure of effort on the expenditure, or perhaps or the expenditure, of a ransom price. One or other or both of those ideas will be in this recovery that comes under the term redemption. When we turn to the Old Testament scriptures, we find that redemption may apply to people, and it also may apply to property. And those two thoughts are carried into the New Testament exposition of redemption. When you turn to the Bible, and it is describing the redemption of people, the idea is always that of a release and a recovery of people out of slavery, captivity, bondage. When we're dealing with the redemption of people, therefore, in Scripture, we are dealing with the release and the recovery of slaves. When we deal with the redemption of property, then it is always the thought of a recovery of a lost or a forfeited inheritance. Now, think of those two aspects of the word redemption. The classic example of the redemption of people in the Old Testament is, of course, the redemption of Israel out of Egypt. That's so important in the Old Testament that everywhere you turn, the Lord refers to it throughout the remainder of their history. The Lord, through the prophets, always called the Israelites back to that moment when he intervened in Egypt and he delivered them by the blood of the Lamb. He redeemed them as his people. We were reading of it this morning in the prophecy of Isaiah. And this is just one portion. You could turn to one portion after another. And the Lord is saying this is the outstanding example of the redemption of people out of slavery.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.